Hello, everybody, and welcome to Web and Beyond Live for May 16th, 2022. I'm Ray Sidney Smith, President of W3 Consulting and Managing Director of W3C Web Services, which provides affordable web and WordPress hosting, domain registration, and other web-related services for small business. Web and Beyond Live is our weekly show about topical and timely small business, digital, and marketing related issues. So if you're watching the live show with me here, or you're watching the replay, listening to the podcast afterward, feel free to ask your questions in the chat here, wherever you're listening or watching. And you can also tweet at me at W3 Consulting on Twitter. I'll do my best to answer them either synchronously or asynchronously as I can. Today, we're going to talk a lot about Google, but it's not all about Google, but we'll be covering a lot of Google stuff since Google I/O just happened. And then we are going to get into some other news related to some stuff that's going on with the White House and broadband, which is really great news from my perspective. And we'll also be talking about some YouTube stuff, which is also Google. And then I wanted to just spend a little bit of time talking today about online shopping and customer satisfaction because of a really good article that came out from Understanding E-commerce. So with that, I'm going to bring the news up onto my screen, and we are going to get into the news this week. So first and foremost, I wanted to talk about a new ad format that Google has been testing. And this is an ad format where you basically get a swipeable images carousel in your Google Ads now. So this is showing up on web, and I'm really interested to see whether or not this comes to more formats. So this is on mobile and desktop web when you do a search for a product through Google Shopping, and you get this really large image carousel that displays on screen. And I was originally thinking that this might actually be something that was going to lead toward more ads in Google Discover, but I think that's a completely different ad surface for Google. This is really for within the Google Shopping arena. But I'm still really excited to see being able to utilize this really large visible ad display format for a lot of businesses where the visuals are really what help to sell the product. And so just know that this new large images carousel ad format is coming to the system. So I just wanted to kind of point that out to everybody if you are running Google Ads. Next up is we have a new, So Google I/O happened this past week, and Google announced a whole slew of new things, and I wanted to run through some of them. Most importantly, they noted that Android 13 is on its way, which I think is really great for businesses who have Google Business Profiles. And so that's formerly known as the Google My Maps, Google My Business Listings. And so now it's their Google Business Profiles. But in the new Maps features and so on and so forth, they've got a lot of new, fun, interesting features that are coming where they're scanning the internals of buildings and that kind of thing to give a richer experience of those spaces. And for those of you who have physical retail spaces, I think it's going to be really quite interesting. That being the case, beyond Android 13 and my personal interest in it, we have some new hardware products from the Pixel 6a and the forthcoming Pixel 7, so some high-end phones. Then we have the Pixel Buds Pro, which I think for a lot of us who are in a lot of virtual meetings nowadays, if you're doing sales calls via Zoom or whatever else, or you're doing a lot of actual work, meeting with clients and consulting clients via video, having a set of headphones that are really going to help you power through the day and have clear audio is really important. And I have tested many, many different headphones over the years, and I'm really curious to see whether or not these Pixel Buds Pro are going to stand up to the test of time. I have the current Pixel Buds 2, and there have been myriad problems with it. So I'm really, really hopeful that the Pixel Buds Pro, when they come out in a month or so, that they actually turn out to be decent. That being the case, we then have the Pixel Watch coming. And for those of you who are watch wearers and don't know, the Pixel Watch is basically a smartwatch to probably challenge the Apple Watch in this sense. Google owns Fitbit, and so bringing some of that Fitbit mojo in terms of health and fitness data to and algorithms to the Pixel Watch, along with the new Wear OS interface that they're probably going to do for the Pixel Watch. I'm really, really curious to see how this will come about. So the Pixel Watch, I think, is just one of those things that I'm going to be really excited about and kind of thinking through in that sense. On the work side, Google's really trying to iterate on Google Meet. So if you use Google Workspace and you're attempting to get your video calls to come in, video-wise clearly and crisply, Google is doing to make those Google Meet video calls better. And I will look forward to it because I use Zoom primarily for all of my video calls because the Google Meet video quality tends not to be as good as the Zoom video quality. And so if they can really up the ante there with Google Meet calls, I would use it more. And, you know, why pay for two different services? You're already paying for Google Workspace and you get Google Meet within that. Paying the additional money for Zoom is not necessarily all that advantageous to us, except for the fact that I just feel like I get so much value out of Zoom by itself as a product. But they did announce that we're looking at getting more and more and better, video technology baked into that. So really, really cool there. As I said before, they're talking a lot more about Google Maps and how, say, doing a multi-search near me, searching for multiple things, so that you're able to find things more conveniently. This is going to be great for small businesses who are trying to find local discovery from their target audience. I think this is really good also coming out of Google I/O, them just making sure they're highlighting the fact that if you're looking for, you know, things that are a little bit obscure, you can now type those things into Google search engine and they will find them. And just adding the words near me now will bring you to local search for those things, which means you need to start educating your audience to type in near me at the end of when they type in. You know, if they're looking for a laundromat, if you run a laundromat, you would type a laundromat near me and they will find your laundromat in those particular areas. So I'm very, very excited to hear about some of these Google Maps integrations, as I talked about before. Okay, enough of those pieces about Google. Outside of Google I/O, YouTube also announced that they were going to be doing membership gifting starting soon. And so this started last week and it's in beta. But the idea is that if you are a YouTube creator, right, where you know broadcasting on YouTube, you'll now be able to go ahead and provide memberships. This has been available for quite some time. But in addition to that, you will now be able to go ahead and have gifting set up for folks. So in essence, what you can do is you can say, hey, to your audience, if we have a membership program running, you can go ahead and gift a membership to, say, your spouse or partner. You can gift it to your mom or sister or brother, those kinds of things, to friends and family. And so now you can not only have a membership for yourself, you can also gift the membership to other people. This is going to actually be really, really great because, with Netflix coming out last week, as we talked about, and saying, hey, we're going to be pushing potentially ads into the platform, or we're going to start cracking down on the idea of people sharing passwords. Well, if more of that content goes to YouTube, you know, then and more creators go to YouTube to create this kind of paid content, premium content, and they want to share that with other people, they can go ahead and do that. And they're doing it in a way that is scalable for being able to grow in that sense. So I want to share my information, my membership with another person. I'm not going to really be able to do that in YouTube, but I could gift them a membership, and that really works out to your benefit if you are doing that kind of premium content. So I'm just excited to see more creators utilizing this and seeing how that goes. All right, moving right along, I wanted to make note that the Biden administration has announced a new partnership with a bunch of telecarriers that include AT&T and Verizon and like 20 different broadband providers to provide subsidized high-speed internet plans to low-income Americans. And so just keep your kind of ears to the ground here for more and more notification about this as the plan comes together. There's a fact sheet in the article that I'll be putting in the show notes. So definitely check it out. And this can be really affordable for more people. As more people come online, the more opportunity for you as a business to be able to reach those people. And so everything we can do in order to increase broadband access, especially high-speed broadband access, increases education opportunities, increases economic development, it increases all of the various leveling up of American society. And so I just really am excited to see more high-speed broadband access. Plus, if you're starting a business and you don't have high-speed broadband access, it's much more difficult to start a business. And so I just really would love to see the idea of small businesses getting a fundamental right to broadband internet access to be something that we support in America. All right, next up, a little bit more Google news. And this is related to Google Wallet, which became Google Pay or GPay and all kinds of nonsense in terms of branding. But either way, Google has decided that Google Wallet is back. They're re resurrecting the old service and they're providing virtual cards so that people can go ahead and check out with those virtual cards. And so what that means now is that Google Wallet will become basically a new service that's been resurrected somewhat from its prior iteration. But the idea is that if you go to a store and you want to pay for something, say you want to pay through an online portal or pay through a terminal, just like with GPay or Google Pay, it will pay with a virtual card so that you can plug that number into a website and you're not giving away your actual credit card or debit card number to the vendor. They're getting a dummy number. It still has all of your information it plugged in behind the scenes, so you're paying, but Google is providing this intermediary number so that you're not sharing it out there on the world, on the internet. So what that means is that if that card number for some reason gets exposed to the world, it makes no difference to you because it's not your actual card number. And there are plenty of other services that do this already. Privacy.com does it. Google Pay actually already does it within the application Google Pay, but Google Wallet is extending that a little bit further so that they're giving you a little bit more control and protection there. I think this is all really good stuff for us to be able to protect not only ourselves when we're purchasing online, but also if we're providing cards to employees and staff, making sure that they also are using these tools so that the virtual card system becomes a protection to mask your real card numbers and therefore reduce the incidence of fraud on your business accounts. Okay, so just kind of keep that in mind as well. And then I think this is my last article that I wanted to discuss. Yes. So I wanted to just spend a few minutes closing out today with this article from Understanding E-commerce. And they talk about six ways to boost customer satisfaction for your online shop. And these seem like really simple items, but I just wanted to cover them because I think that a lot of people overlook the importance of making sure that customers, when they come to your online store, are getting a great product or service. And you can't overcome any of the other issues that you might have with your website if the product or service is not great for that customer, right? And great is preferential, right, in a lot of ways. But we're really talking about properly suited for the right customer. And so suitability to the customer makes the product great. And so you need to match that with great customer service as well. And of course, a website that works for people. And we're continually working at making our own website platforms more user-friendly and those of our clients. But when a website is difficult to navigate, people bounce, people leave, and people have poor experiences with those websites. It's as easy as that, right? So if you make things simple for people to get to, I usually use the two-click rule. I click once onto your website. Once I'm on your website, I should be able to click on another thing and be where I want to be. Okay. And that usually means the homepage and the main navigation needs to be able to give me the ability to hover over the main navigation components and get right to the thing I'm looking for from main navigation. Or if I'm scrolling through the web page, the homepage, I should be able to find the thing in the text, in the body of that homepage, and be able to click there and be taken to the thing that I'm looking for. If it takes me three and four and five clicks to get to where I wanted to go to, I, as the regular average, visitor to your website, we're going to bounce. We're going to leave and go someplace else that's going to find us our information faster. So giving us that really easy Findability for the thing we're trying to solve for on your website is really important. I already said customer service, right? You have to have some customer service options on your website. I suggest, you know, thinking through, are you doing phone, email, some kind of web chat, those kinds of things to really make sure that customers feel like you're supporting them. Now, remember, you can set the standard, right? You don't have to be a 24/7, business. But if you're not going to do 24/7, 365 in terms of customer service and support, make sure that your customers know when they should communicate with you, and then make sure that you are there and being friendly and helpful and really thinking through the entire customer experience. Do most of your customers, once they come to you, need more help and assistance when they are working through their initial stages with your product or service? Make sure that you're putting those things on your website and making sure that they know how to do them. Simple videos, simple, explanations of how to take care of those things can really be useful. They talk about just a couple of other things. I think these are more nice to haves than necessities, but they talk about having a satisfaction guarantee. I think having guarantees and warranties can be really, really useful for increasing people's, initial purchase with an e-commerce store where they don't necessarily know the business. And so they may feel less inclined to shop with an unknown entity. So providing some kind of satisfaction guarantee, some kind of warranty, really does increase e-commerce conversions. So I can recognize that. It's still one of those things that you have to do as a business. You have to decide whether or not you want to put together that. And you have to put that in writing. You've got to get that on the site. You got to make sure that you honor the guarantee or the warranties. And then last but not least, I think this is also really, really important, still nice to have though, which is asking for feedback, right? And I think this is one of those things where less asking feedback directly on and on the page itself, that many times is just ignored by users, but a follow-up with customers when they have finally experienced your product or service is really useful. So yes, it's helpful. Maybe you can use Hotjar or other programs that kind of immediately provide feedback regarding their experience throughout the online shopping experience. But just understand that doing thoughtful surveys and customer interviews, focus groups, these don't have to be complicated things in order to get some really great feedback relating to how you are doing with your initial purchase process, how you're doing with the overall customer experience throughout the customer life cycle, right? Because it's not just about that initial purchase. It's about all of the stuff that happens after that. They say service after the sale, right? And so all of the things that happen around the customer life cycle is really important for you to learn. And I think that getting back some of that feedback is something that you should be doing continually throughout that. And by the time someone gets to the end of the customer experience, they've either had a really great experience with you and they're happy and they're going to kind of fluff over the negative parts because they want to make you feel good. Whereas when they're frustrated in potentially a specific moment, they're going to be a little bit more honest and hopefully give you some better feedback that's going to help you understand how to be better going forward. So I think we have come to the end of our time today. I've been trying to keep these short and sweet. We've got another regular episode next week, and then I'll be doing the social media episode at the end of the month on the 30th. So I'm looking forward to that because I haven't done that in a while. Those will be longer. and so we're covering all of the various social networks on the 30th. So feel free to join us for that. We've got a lot of updates across the various social networks, and I want to make sure we cover them all. But as we've come to the end of our time together, I hope you've enjoyed this time with me. Feel free to click the thumbs up icon if you did enjoy the time with me today. That of course helps us make new small business friends, and so thank you for doing that. If you have a question, feel free to leave a comment on the video. You can also tweet or message me at W3 Consulting on Twitter. And of course, you can join us every Monday here, typically around 11 a.m. Eastern. We usually start a few minutes after the hour. And then if we have to change times, we'll let you know on our social channels that it'll be another time, and usually happens because of holidays and so on and so forth. I want to thank you all for joining me for this Web and Beyond Live. I'm Ray Sidney Smith on behalf of W3 Consulting and our subsidiary, W3C Web Services. Have a great week ahead, marketing and managing your small business on the Web and Beyond.